And here we are.
Yup.
This is gonna be alright, we're gonna see how this goes, man. This is gonna be one of those. We'll see. We shall see.
I think it's gonna be great.
It's been a pretty rough weekend, man. You've been moving all weekend, man. You moved into the mansion. You wanna tell the people, or are you trying to hide that information?
I know, man. Coming full circle.
Back to the
birthplace of the debut album.
Yes. Yep.
Of one.
Yep.
Trek Life.
Yeah, man. Debut mixtape and debut album.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's where all the magic happened.
That's right.
Moving went well, I'd imagine. Or well enough.
No.
No. Moving sucks.
Oh, no. Moving's terrible.
Yeah, it's one of the worst things on the planet.
Moving's terrible. Yeah. And I'm moving with two additional people that add to the level of complexity exponentially.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That is one of the worst things. What up, y'all? You are live on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Trek Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
That's right. Motion Man.
I think I'm going to do better this week, man. I don't have the allergies or the asthma or whatever the hell was going on last episode, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I think we'll be all right this week.
In fairness, every time I listen to that, I hear the sniffle, and then I'm thinking, now, was that? That could have been me. But I'm pretty sure they were all you.
They were all me. Literally in the middle of, right as we press record, it was like it just hit me out of nowhere. So there's that. Yeah.
But if I ever need a sniffle double.
That's sample it straight from there.
Yeah.
All right, my opening question.
Yes, sir.
Last week, I guess it's last week since we're recording one day off from usual.
Mm-hmm.
Nas said that he no longer wants to celebrate Illmatic.
Right.
What accomplishment in your life are you tired of celebrating?
Oh, man, that's probably the toughest question you've ever asked me. It's just so many Illmatic-like milestones in my life to choose from. No, I'm gonna have to bunt on that one. If I had ever done anything remotely resembling an Illmatic, which I would probably say getting married or having my daughter would be the two closest things, and I foot race there.
All right, fair enough.
Honestly, I don't think I'd want to stop talking about it. But I didn't I saw the headline of that, and I didn't know exactly what he was trying to get at. But then I realized I didn't care.
All right, we'll talk about it more on the other side. I figured I'd throw a difficult question at you since you've been moving all weekend.
Thanks.
All right.
What up, y'all? It's Cousin Ant. When I'm out here in the streets, staying four toes down, you can find me listening to Trek and Kev on Rap Sucks Radio.
And yes, y'all, you are live on Rap Sucks Radio. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. Wherever you're tuning in from, whatever platform you're using, we appreciate y'all, each and every one of y'all. My name is Trek Life. That's my homeboy, Kev Sakota. And we about to... Wait, before we jump into Out Here Tripping, on the opening question, it seems odd to be able to ask the fans to not celebrate a record anymore, right? So it seems like he was saying that he wasn't going to do like the 25th anniversary and then the 30th and then, you know what I'm saying? But can you tell the fans?
Did he have a reasoning behind it though that went beyond?
Well, he had mentioned that he had just done like the 20th anniversary and then I think it's creeping up on the 25th he's like, man, I'm not going to keep, I think he's saying I'm not going to keep doing these performances like. These Illmatic performances. I've done other music. I just want to let it live, you know?
Yeah, and I didn't take it as... Well, I don't know if he was sort of issuing a mandate to all his his fans would. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, if you want someone to talk about a different record, make a better record than Illmatic.
Right, because we're not going to come out for,
it's
like...
It's easier to say.
Yeah, we're not coming out for the 25th anniversary of Owe Me Back. Like, what... You know what I'm saying? Why would we do that? Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get into Out Here Tripping, man. Hey, this is not really a throwback. What's it though? Hillary Clinton is out here tripping. What's up, Hillary? We hadn't heard from you in a minute. Like, and she came back, man, throwing heat.
She came back swinging for the fences. Large tripping.
Extra large tripping. Clinton says that Russia is grooming Tulsi Gabbard to be a third-party candidate. Source Politico says. Clinton made the comments on a podcast hosted by David, I could not say this, like Plouf? Plouf?
Pluff.
Plouf?
Pluff.
Pluff.
Yeah. You like Pluff. Pluff Daddy.
Okay, Pluff.
P. Diddy.
Who managed Barack Obama's 2008 campaign. Stuff of legend, by the way. And let's go ahead and read her quotes real quick. I'm not making any predictions, but I think they've got their eyes on somebody, they being Russia, got their eyes on somebody who's currently in the Democratic primary, and they're grooming her, so that roots out quite a few people, to be the third-party candidate. Clinton said in the interview, she's the favorite of the Russians. They have a bunch of sites and bots and other ways of supporting her so far, and that's assuming, another shot she took, Jill Stein will give it up because she's also a Russian asset.
Right.
Kev, what's up with Hill Dog, yo?
She came with it. Come with it.
Does this seem unfounded though? Like it, I know that some people say that that like a lot of Russian publications have kind of backed Tulsi a little bit. I know that RT.com right. has been on her side or what have you. So is it, I don't know. I don't understand what Hillary's getting at here. Like, is Gabbard down with them or are they just selecting her or how is that? How does that work? You know what I'm saying?
This is one of those things where it's just like, when we did the first debate sort of wrap up, I just went really fast and you know, you can go back and listen to it if you haven't heard it because, you know, it's our episode.
Yeah, yeah.
You should listen to every single one.
Yep.
But I said smart ass remarks about every single candidate. And Tulsi's someone who's really easy to not love. And I don't know her, you know, but she's someone who's easy to admire, but someone who's easy to not like, I guess, because she's taken some weird stances. Especially, you know, if you happen to be a gay person, you probably really have a problem with certain views that she holds or held. Now she says she doesn't hold those views anymore about the LGBTQ community. You know, but being someone whose parents are from Hawaii, she's from Hawaii. It's like you want to kind of give her a listen. She's also Samoan, so you don't want to talk too bad because you know she's probably got 18 really large brothers. And she's also a vet, you know, she's a soldier as well, so she could probably whoop that ass just fine by herself.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know where this came from. The one thing that has come up, which is very remotely related, is that I think she had some sort of a outreach or I don't know if it was tight relationship, but I think it was Assad or one of the dictator dudes that like she had some sort of interaction with that people thought was in you know, just kind of in, if not in bad taste, then just like bad judgment. But I don't know anything about the Russia stuff. And Hillary really just, I mean, she knows that people are listening. So when she pulls stuff out like this, it's kind of, you know,
well, it makes
it kind of wild.
It makes it interesting, man, because, and we're going to get into the Democratic debates in a second, but I guess I'll kind of throw out one of the points I already had for it. Like Cory Booker was just up there to be a mediator. You know what I'm saying? Like when you listen to he was just like, all right, guys. And, right. and to some, I laughed a lot at him, but because I think he thought he was like, all right, well, I look enough like Barack Obama. I should be next. And that didn't happen. But he's kind of right. And to your point, you got to be careful how you run this campaign if you're the Democrats, because your man knows how to work these angles. And the crazier you talk about each other, the more heat he turns up you know, later on, you know. So Hillary, man, like, she should know better than this. Even if she felt this way, she should know better than this. I think it's, she has a way of just kind of being a clown when it's not clown time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, and I don't know if she, is this an indication that she's planning to jump back in or something? Who knows?
Oh, God, please no. Please no. Please.
Yeah, that would not be cool.
Yeah, we're done with that, Hill. There are quite a few people that like Hillary Clinton, and I don't want to disparage anybody who likes her, but y'all got to hop off that boat. It's over, foe. It's over, foe.
I know a lot of really dope MCs who I also like a lot as people, who have never made an Illmatic. Pretty much all of them except for one. So she might have deserved, in many people's view, to be the first female president, or to be president, period. I don't think it's going to happen. It's okay.
Yeah, you got to wrap that gavel up.
Nas should actually tell her to stop talking about the presidency.
Right, yeah.
Instead of having people stop talking about Illmatic.
That was the underlying message, I think. I think Nas was shooting shots at Hillary, like, hey, stop. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Chill out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shut down Illmatic, and you shut this down. All right? Yeah. But Tulsi Gabbard did respond.
Right.
Via Twitter, I believe. She said, thank you, Hillary. You, the queen of warmongers, embodiment of corruption, and personification of the rot that has sickened the Democratic Party for so long, have finally come out from behind the curtain. From the day I announced my candidacy, there has been a concerted campaign to destroy my reputation. I don't know about all that. We wondered who was behind it and why. Now we know it was always you. Through your proxies and powerful allies in the corporate media and war machine afraid of the threat I pose, it is now clear that this primary is between you and me. It's not, though. Don't cowardly hide behind your proxies. Join the race directly. I have a lot of no's in there. Like, you know, there's a lot of no's. Yeah. No, sorry.
And there is exhibit one on why it's hard to like Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, she was in her bag, yo. You know, again, I think I'm gonna add the music in post. Every time somebody does that, I'm gonna add like the hit 'em up beat behind. Because that's, you know, you know what I'm saying? Take money.
Yeah. What was the record that was after Takeover? Jay's, the next record that he did? Super Ugly?
Yeah, Super Ugly. Yeah, yep.
The one where it's just like, everyone was like, why did you do that? That was
the goofiest record of all time.
You went, come on.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, man? I have been defending Jay's decision making so much that people think that I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. And it's always funny to be like, nah, some of them records was super corny. And they're like, wait, I thought you were. No, it's just, there's a, you know, duality to people. And sometimes you agree with some things they do, and sometimes you don't agree with things that they do, right? Same here with Hillary.
That's not possible.
No. If you do something wrong, you're evil from the very wrong thing you did for the rest of your life.
Canceled. Yeah. Completely.
Oh, that's right. Canceled. Yes. We're supposed to be canceling people. I would cancel a few things from Gabbard here.
Okay.
No. I don't think from day one there's been a concerted campaign to destroy your reputation. I think you did a lot of that on your own. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and say that the corporate media and war machine and powerful allies of Hillary Clinton are not afraid of the threat that you pose by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm going to go ahead and withdraw your last statement to Hillary and tell her Trek Life said, do not join the race directly. Thanks. We'll go ahead and kick that out. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Yeah. And yeah, it's a, you know, because Tulsi was right at the top of the pack until old Hillary came in and said these mean things about her. It's like, from what I heard, I didn't watch the last debate, we'll talk about it, but from what I heard, she did okay.
She did great, actually.
She hasn't exactly been making headlines. You know, it's not like she's been making headlines and now all of a sudden, you know, Hillary's the one who messed her up.
So you know what? We can start with her actually on the debates. I'm gonna start with her real quick in my opinion of it because it's weird with her for me. She did very good. Mm-hmm. She's super centrist though, and her not being likable is hard for me to deal with as well because she's not likable for all the reasons that people say women in power aren't likable. So it makes it whack for her to not be likable, right? Like, it's kind of like, it's actually Hillary Clinton-esque why people don't like her in a way. Not, I don't want to say why people don't like her, but why her personality or the way she comes off is not likable. You know what I'm saying?
I should say that when I said that she's hard to like, it wasn't the same. To me, it's not the same exact thing. Because, Hillary is, you know, there are things about her that's like, she's not somebody that you're going to fall in love with their personality. But that's not what she's running for.
Right.
That's not what she was running for.
Right. Right.
You know, but I couldn't say the same thing about Tulsi Gabbard because there are specific things she has done, that I don't necessarily like. I don't think I know enough about, I haven't seen enough about her to know how I feel about that sort of personality she has or doesn't have. With Hillary, it was like, you knew so much about her. It was like, she, by the way, she had done a lot of things. It was like, oh, that was whack. That policy wise, that was whack. But also, like, you know, you're cracking Pokemon jokes that are just terrible.
Goofy jokes. And you, the deplorable
you look
thing.
Real goofy sometimes. It's like, yeah, it's like you're doing silly things.
Flyover states.
Right.
No, I guess that wasn't really aimed at what you said earlier. It was more aimed at like what you kind of read about her, how people just kind of don't like her personality. And I thought it was cool. I thought she, I don't know if they were trying to iron sharpens iron with Warren. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But they did. Yeah. Warren has been really, moving on to Warren. She has been really vague about some of her policies. Like we're going to do this. And then, okay, how? Well, it's going to take some stuff and some things. It's like Warren and Buttigieg went after her, like, "Hey, what are this stuff? What are this stuff and these things?" And I'm sorry, I said Warren and Buttigieg. I meant Gabbard and Buttigieg went after her, went after Warren, and she seemed a little unconfident. You know what I'm saying? She didn't really have the answers, which kind of brings me to I didn't have a lot to say about Buttigieg. I think him and Gabbard did the best. If there's an argument. Mm. But they're so centrist that it's like, you can vote for them, but I mean, what's going to be the difference here? You know?
I would imagine that Buttigieg is got a pretty solid shot at being the VP.
Oh, I would argue that completely. I agree with you.
On the ticket. Warren definitely, shortly after she left that debate, I'm sure she went back and told her team they needed to work on a plan on how to explain all her plans.
It was like, yeah, we got a plan for these plans, young. Because this, this is pretty crazy. I wasn't with it. I was actually, it was crazy because you turned on the TV. It was like watching LeBron lose in the finals. You turned on the TV to see Warren win this, right? Like, all right, it's clear path as far as a lot of people were saying because I won't get into Uncle Joe. That's what Uncle Joe is my man. Biden's my dude, yo, But there was just way too many slip ups. It was like, God, man, are you even on the same stage as everybody else right now? Like, they forced you to run. You know?
Bernie is playing hurt.
Bernie is playing hurt.
Valiant effort, though, you know? Bernie's going to leave it all out there.
Bernie is one of the illest. He's just one of the illest. And even if you don't like him, you respect him. Like, yo, he not playing. He's like, between him and Uncle Joe, they're the only two. I mean, Buttigieg seems like he could get that fire going too. But when you know what they're going to face in the nonsense, you know, it's not going to be an ethical or near ethical political debate and fight when it's time to go up against, you know, young orange face is going to be a big
thing.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the only person I really see clearly that a shout homeboy down is actually Bernie. I'm just like, I don't know, man. Bernie time seems like it's over. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
he seems super opposed to one doing what you just said and getting Like, I don't think he has that speed to just be a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I think he knows how to be angry or to be, you know, even upset about stuff, but, you know, just like the straight up nonsense that the dude is, you know, certainly going to say that, in the general election. I don't know that Bernie has that speed, but also Bernie's kind of like, he's like Cool Herc if Cool Herc entered the DMC competition in 2019. It's like, yeah, you invented it, but we kind of know you're not going to win.
Right.
You know, he invented a lot of the stuff that all these people are talking about as sort of
he's the OG
Democratic policy, you know. So yeah, you know, and also, you know, he's pretty scary, man. You have a heart attack in the middle of it.
I think that was it.
Deal.
That was it. I think that was it. I think that was it. But I will say this much, man. Like, I have more confidence in the end. You know, Beto and Booker, I wrote that down. Y'all can leave now. Thanks, man. You guys were cool. All right, guys. You know, later. You know what I'm saying? It's like
Beto's turning into Terrence Howard.
Beto is like,
you never know exactly which Beto you're gonna get.
You don't, man. And if anything, it's kind of like, it's the moment they put the cape over James Brown, but this time he don't come back. He just put the cape over them dudes and walk them off. You know what I'm saying? Which brings me to one candidate that I will quickly kind of. So I like Yang, man. I like Andrew Yang. Right?
Yeah.
But the UBI thing just don't make no sense. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I've thought to myself, maybe it's just how I grew up. You know what I'm saying? If you don't work, you don't eat, and blah, 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 and nobody deserves anything for free, and yada, yada, yada. Like, all the things that, you know, that I say as I watch corporations get free everything, right? But I can't, man. I can't join the Yang gang. As well as he did, I just can't do it, yo.
Yeah, I think it has to be something that is... I don't think we've heard the last of that conversation. Let's assume that he's not going to go on past you know, this stage. That conversation, we have not heard the last of it. And the reason why is because it's the same to me as the conversation around healthcare, which is, I don't remember us ever asking, you know, and part of it is because it's more of a conservative sort of Republican thing, is how are you going to pay for it? Right.
Right. Right.
What started to, I think, and maybe it's just that we're a little bit older or whatever and paying a little closer attention, is that everyone wants to know the answer to those questions. You know, are our taxes going up? But I think what comes next in that conversation, especially for Democrats, especially for liberals, especially for people who want some sort of, you know, they might not want socialism in the dictionary definition of the word or in the sort of conventional understanding of that word and that concept. They do want a social safety net. They want people to take care of each other in this country and anywhere else in the world. And that doesn't seem like it needs to be an evil thing. And so what it comes back to is that when you're asking how are you going to pay for it, it's like... What we need to turn the corner, and I think Elizabeth Warren is the one who's going to come closest to actually turning this corner when she gets back, you know, after she's getting beat up on the news and, you know, and all the commentary about the debate, is to be able to say, okay, this is complicated stuff.
Right.
But I'm not saying no one knew how complicated healthcare could be. I knew. I believe this is the answer. And Bernie kind of says it. Your taxes are going to go up.
Yep.
But they have to answer it in a way that is not, your taxes are going to go up, but it's going to be, you're going to get this that you had to pay $300 a month for before. You're going to get this that you had to pay potentially $10,000 before, because you didn't know that a bottle of pills wasn't covered. You're going to get this, this, and this. Guaranteed. In exchange for that, you're gonna pay you know, an additional $75 or whatever it is, you know, X number percent in your paycheck.
Right, right.
As taxes, right? And to be able to tell that, if they can't tell that story, then it's a bunch of bullshit, in which case they deserve to get called out. But if they can tell that story in a concise way, that really is the same thing that Netflix had to explain to everybody about why they should spend $10 a month for every movie that's ever been created, or that Spotify is getting people to spend $10 a month for every song that's ever been released,
right.
You know, for right. the most part, you know, there's still people that won't get it, but they need to be able to market that story. And I think they're getting closer to it. The American people are, by and large, one, don't have enough time to pay close attention to get it, or, you know, or we're, you know, by and large, just not finding the need to pay attention yet. It's just you hear taxes are going up and you turn off, you shut down.
Well, yeah,
I get it.
Because of where you're getting the information from initially.
Right. Right. Right.
With regards to healthcare, I think that's a better, I think it's also a better conversation, right? Because if I go on stage and say, you know, I just Oprah this joint, look under your seat, you get $1,200, right. You get $1,200. It's like, all right, look, man, we all know how this movie ends. Like, where is this coming from? All right, we all got $1,200 more. So the price of milk goes up then, right? Because, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, yeah, you can regulate companies like pricing. So if we all have more money, then it seems like prices of everything would go up. I'm doing the most basic, most on your couch, just got done watching a soccer game, politics you've ever heard in your life. So I'm not the type of person to listen to on this. I'm just like, that doesn't feel right to the average American. Give everybody money. Okay, cool. Now what? You know what I'm saying?
But the... And then the counter to that, which is the really frustrating part, is that you see somebody like Warren who, the thing is, when you hear her talk, it's disappointing when she doesn't have an answer for those questions because you feel like she could and should, right?
Right.
And the people that she is competing, you know, for votes from are the people who voted for, you know, the other dude. Who, when campaigning, said, I'm going to give you the most beautiful healthcare. You're not going to believe how great it is. You're not going to pay any more money. I'm not going to raise your taxes. Many of you will get lower taxes. And all you rich people, by the way, you're going to get hell of lower taxes.
Right. Right.
It's, and, you know, obviously there was nobody there saying, how's that work?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, that was kind of the button. I'm glad you got to that point, because that was kind of the bow I wanted to put on this, is that they actually have to have answers. Yang has to have answers. Sanders right. has to have answers. Warren has to have answers. Trump didn't have to have no answers. That's basically what you just said, but it was a thought. Like, dude didn't really have to have any answers to anything. It was just like, I'm going to do this and you guys are going to love it. And people were like, all right, well, cool, I'm with that. You know Yay. What I'm saying? Now this campaign has been run to the highest scrutiny, and that's why watching it is so odd. Like, dang, man, we really are super fact-checking this as though we fact-checked the last one really hard. You know what I'm saying? Maybe because we didn't? I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, we weren't voting for him, though. Or, I mean, I don't know. I think there were a lot of people who were Yeah, I there was no point at which I was like, oh, maybe he's got something there. Because he said so many things that was like, dude, you're one, I don't like the guy. I never loved the guy. So it wasn't like, you know, I thought he was funny. But I'm like, you're nuts and you're kind of a jerk. And now it's like, you're really a jerk. But I mean, I like the fact that the Democrats are up there having hard discussions. I think there's a lot too many of them. There's too much of that intricate discussion. But the thing that, I mean, I didn't finish my point with Yang, is that just like with healthcare and you paying more taxes to be able to, you know, it's insurance. It is what it is, you know? And with Yang, I felt like that universal basic income is the insurance plan against the damage that just poverty level, you know, suffering can inflict upon not just your family, but your community. But I don't know that there is a test for that except for just doing it.
Well,
you know.
I think it's wrapped in the right idea. You know what I'm saying? The right. The fourth industrial revolution, just the idea that technology is going to move people in and out of different jobs. I think it's wrapped right. in the right idea. And I kind of feel weird in a weird way. I feel like, man, maybe I should really kind of take this a little more seriously. You know what I'm saying? But that's the part of me that I was like, man, it's got to be upbringing. Because I just, you know, you say it and I just automatically start shaking my fist and, you know, like, nah, you yeah. give away what? Young whippersnappers, I hate you guys. Like, so, but yeah, man, it's been an interesting thing. I'm actually looking forward to Beto and Booker being walked out of there. Thanks, Yang. It's dope, man. You know, I think you'll be around, but let's go and get you out of there too for right now. And let's get down to some brass tacks. I think Gabbert got to go as well. Although she's asking the hard questions, it's kind of cool to have her up there. But in the end, it's, you know, thank you. Peace. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And yeah, we'll see what we got left with the rest of them. Bernie eventually is going to have to walk out too. So, but he's going to fight till the very end, and that's going to be. That's gonna be where it, you know, where all of this kind of where the rubber meets the road.
He's
you know,
not going anywhere. Maybe LeBron can get in the race.
Well, I don't think he can now. After he tripped over his own tongue four times. All right, man. So I wrote this down and I'm gonna rant about this. So let me set it up. Kev brought up LeBron for good reason. That was Segway Championship right there, and. For those of y'all who don't know, Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets basketball team, we're talking the NBA right now, tweeted out that he's pro Hong Kong, stand with Hong Kong in the midst of all that's going on with Hong Kong and China, the protest, etc., over the extradition of a protester. So, in the midst of all that. While this was happening, while he made that tweet, China's officials really got upset with that. China's business owners, which basically are funded by the government directly, right? So China's government got upset, long story short. They backed out of all advertisements. A lot of ad space has been taken away. A lot of businesses have backed out with the NBA. It's about $5 billion worth of business that the NBA has lost from China. I'll speak to that in just a moment. And the players were still over there. The Lakers were playing against the Brooklyn Nets. And the Rockets weren't there, actually. The Rockets were in Japan at the time. But the players were being asked about all of this. And I don't think that NBA players specialize in geopolitics. So they didn't have the greatest answers, if they had any answer at all. So I this show doesn't really go... if this is your first time listening to the show, we don't really go this political as often. So just so you know, first three topics have been strongly political. This is not common with us. But I'm going to say, conservative agenda to paint this as a negative thing for LeBron has been ridiculous and it's been stupid. And everybody who's fallen for it, every single person out there listening, whether you are my best friend, my brother, my sister, my dad, whether you're the closest person that I know to me that I know. You're stupid for falling for it. You're stupid. I'm sorry, but you're stupid. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And let me explain why. First of all, asking an NBA player, and to be fair, LeBron saying that Daryl Morey was misinformed, etc., sounded horrible at first. And then he turned around and clarified himself, saying that where the players were and the danger that the players may have been in, you know, that he basically should have waited to make a statement, right? Okay. So let's backtrack a little bit. LeBron has stood for quite a few things, and he's openly stood for quite a few things, and many athletes have stood largely against our loudmouth president. However, the more you get into this, the more you realize that there are some things that LeBron actually backed out on that you would think he would have had a lot to say on, like, for example, Tamir Rice. Many people were disappointed that LeBron said he wasn't abreast of the situation, so he didn't want to speak out on it until he knew exactly what went on, right? And we all know Tamir Rice, the young man that was shot by the Cleveland police. well, shot very close to where LeBron is from. And he was playing with a toy gun. He was like 12 years old, young, very young man. And LeBron didn't know about it, so LeBron didn't speak on it. Now, I can tell you that at that point in time, I was like, dang, yo, you should have spoke on that. But he did not. No outrage. No conservative outrage whatsoever. No Twitter. No what about this. No none of that. No one said anything, right? Not a single thing. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's vocal about all of China's business and everything. You, all of you, people who I know just made ridiculously racist statements towards Asians while driving on the freeway are now turning around saying that they're defending Hong Kong and now you're defending democracy. Dog, you don't even know where Hong Kong is, right? Matter of fact, I'm gonna prove it. I'm online talking to people about it, not joking with them, but trying to educate people on the situation. And they keep saying things like Konnichiwa. That is not Chinese. That has nothing to do, like, you don't have any clue about what you're talking about. So why would you expect, and you're on the internet every day, dog. You're not in the gym. You're not traveling. You don't have any of the, you don't have a school. You don't have any of the business that this man has. And most of you don't even know where Hong Kong is, how large Hong Kong is, when Hong Kong receives sovereignty and, you know, the situation that's with China within the next 40 years post that sovereignty. You have no idea what's going on. Not a single thing. And here you are accepting this conservative agenda against LeBron James. All I wanted to say on this show is you're stupid. I didn't want to say anything else. I'm just telling you that you're stupid. For you to expect a player to understand geopolitics is crazy. And also, things that you don't understand. Right? Things that you don't understand. So don't sit here and fall for that nonsense, man. Y'all already know that one of the main things they want to do is silence, especially rich black voices, but black voices in general. And we've had this throughout time, throughout history, we've had this to where it's, what about things going on in Vietnam, black man? I don't know. They've never done anything to me. Oh my God, he hates America. Do y'all remember that? Because that actually happened. Mm. So let's keep it real. Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. Stop. Just stop already. Watch the game. Sit down. Again, you're 5'4". Just knock it off. You'll never be. All right? Cut it out. It's over.
Why? Always with the 5'4", man.
Well, I'm sorry. 5'3". You're 5'3". You're 5'7". Look, I'm 5'8". It's not happening for me either. So let's just not do this, guys. Knock it off. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go ahead and quote Jay. Since we sideways dissed him earlier. Smarten up.
Like, come on.
Educate yourself. The situation with Hong Kong, and I am as far from an expert as anyone besides everyone Trek is talking about. But it's not just a democracy issue. An issue of freedom and democracy. It is, but as Trek was alluding to, there are historical implications that are really unique. And if you were in that situation where your freedom was attached to a contract.
Right.
That is not that old.
Nope.
You'd be out there demonstrating every day.
Yes.
These folks are going to work, feeding their families, doing what y'all do, and then on the weekends, they don't go and get a cup of coffee and jump on Facebook or Twitter. They're out there in the street every weekend.
Because their entire life, everything about how they were able to function for generations is going to change dramatically. It's going to change dramatically, and it's a ticking time bomb for them. And some of those changes, okay, some of those changes are being advanced. And it's inevitable. Those changes are going to happen. Right.
Let's put it on a positive note, though. Do yourself a favor and try and get educated on what's going on there so that when someone asks you, when you become the next LeBron James and a media figure asks you your celebrity and professional athlete opinion on what's going on, you can give a more educated answer. Because I think if you educate yourself more, you're going to appreciate, one, what we do have here, which is worth appreciating, you know. You will also, hopefully, if you are truly ignorant, you will dig into your own history, whatever that may be, in America. And you will also understand that there's some crazy stuff going on here as well.
Right. Thank you.
You know, I came up with this saying that knowledge is power.
You know what? That's very clever, Kev. I'm glad you came up with that.
I was trying to think of the most Trumpy thing I could say.
Ugh. Oh, I don't even know, man. No, man, it just bothers me, man, because this has happened for so long, and this is a. I don't truly believe a lot in agendas, but I can spot one pretty clearly when I see one, and this is a. That's clearly an agenda. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to have protests and all of that. And here's the thing. They had protested to go at the Brooklyn Nets game, right? About a couple hundred people, maybe less than 100 or around 100 people showed up, you know, in support of Hong Kong. And I'm all for that. You bought those tickets, fam. You bought those tickets. And right. And last month, this is my last point, Kev. I'm sorry. When the players were speaking out about police brutality, when they were speaking out about Mike Brown, when they were wearing the I Can't Breathe shirts, right?
Right.
The microphones were placed directly in the faces of who? The players, right? Mm-hmm. When Daryl Morey speaks out, right? You didn't ask the GMs what they thought, right? You left them out of it. This was the players' protest. Sure, there were likely some GMs that didn't agree, but they didn't have any pressure to respond, right? Now, a GM spoke out, an opinion that I agree with. I agree with his opinion.
Right.
You haven't asked another GM at all. Only the more common one. You've asked the two common players. You've talked to Popovich about it, who punted. You talked to Steve Kerr about it, who also sort of punted. Well, after the president decided to speak out against Steve Kerr for some random reason. But you haven't put the microphone in their GM's face. Meanwhile, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets has openly backed China. Has openly backed China. No microphone in his face. No questions. No nothing. And you're telling me LeBron James is supposed to answer all these questions? Man, get out of here with that nonsense.
Yeah. And there's a couple, the two issues that we're talking about is one, the specifics of what's happening and how we feel about it, you know, and then how, you know, you can also modulate the way you react to every little thing that LeBron James or any other superstar athlete or celebrity responds to a question, right? You can modulate that and say, probably could handle that a little better,
right? You know? And I would agree with that. I would 100% you know? Agree with that. Yeah.
So I think that's sort of one point. The other thing is that it's not that he had. I don't. You know, we kind of have a pretty solid track record of LeBron's outlook on issues of equality and social justice, and you know whether or not you agree on it, you kind of have a track record to go on to be able to say, well, if I was wondering what he felt about this in his heart of hearts, had he the time to fully educate himself on it, I pretty much feel like I know how he would respond.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? So go with your gut on that. And if he's, like I said, if he said something that goes against what you think, and they're like, you know, maybe you need to ask him that question again, you know, but the thing is that NBA owners, GMs, you know, the leadership is not unlike the leadership in any other major professional sports organization, NFL, Major League Baseball. These guys are doing business, have a long track record of doing business with people in many different countries, you know, as financial partners, for the most part.
Sure.
And especially over the last 20 years, I would imagine that China has become an ever increasing part of that investment, you know, infrastructure. So yeah, man, when you talk about money, that's what this is about with the NBA, right? It's about money.
Right.
And you know, LeBron is the one guy who says, it's not, I know when my check got cashed already. Well, so I'm not being swayed by that.
And you can also say, thank you. That was another thing I was going to get to. Like, the money, I mean, the dude's already got his bread. And the other thing is this, really quickly. On the money thing, $5 billion in just about $5 billion in advertising is taking away. I get that people are saying, well, now the NBA loses. I'm like, listen, man. Anybody who's paying for advertising knows that they're going to make money off of those ads. So the NBA is actually losing less than the advertiser that pulled out. You know what I'm saying? If I put in $10 worth of ad space, I'm expecting to make $100. So right. If I put in $5 billion, how much money am I losing on the back end when I back out for weirdly goofy reasons, to be honest with you? Right? What does it mean for one American to say they stand with Hong Kong? The legislation that was just passed, like, Hong Kong was like, America, please stay out of it. Well, I guess not necessarily a protester, so let me take that back. Let me walk that back a little bit. But even still, come on. It's all for show. So stop, y'all. Let's just knock that off. And you know what? Let's
at the end of the day, for us it's a lot about ideas and for you know, this particular circumstance, this particular situation, especially with regard to the league, it's a business. It's about business. It's about money. For the people in Hong Kong, it's not about that.
Not at all.
So, you know, and the NBA and any other company who does business with mainland China knows the implications, that there are political implications to that relationship. Whether or not you want to admit it, whether or not you want to conduct your business in a way that acknowledges that, that's up to you, you know, but this, you know, this was, I don't think it was shocking to anybody.
It shouldn't have been.
Had, you know, was in a decision-making position. It's like, oh, this is what we knew could happen is happening.
And just as a note, both preseason games, Brooklyn Nets and Los Angeles Lakers preseason games, were sold out at home over the weekend. Hmm. So nanny, 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 you still lost anyway. So there's that. You did it. You hit Twitter. Your thumbs, man. Your thumbs got busy with the thumbs. Didn't do nothing.
Thumb thuggery.
That is Rap Sucks Radio Coin. Thumb thuggery. And sold out games anyway. So, good job. Anyway.
Let's take it in another direction.
All right.
Let's lighten it up a little bit and talk about stalking.
I like how you're segueing like directly into like the, all right. let's keep the topic in Asia for a little bit. Kev, question, Kev.
Yeah.
By the end of this, impressed or terrified? All right.
Ooh.
Impressed or terrified? A man arrested on suspicion of stalking a female pop idol used, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The reflections of her pupils in photos she shared on social media and Google Street View to find out where she lived. Fam. Whoa. Now,
yo,
I would like
you to... You know whose fault it is.
I would like to say that we're going to make light of this, but it isn't all the way lighthearted. The police say that he hurt her and committed indecent acts, such as groping her after accosting her from behind and knocking her down. So this is actually, you know, a serious thing. She's alive and he's in custody. But yeah, as we make light of this, you know, it turned out whack. However, Kev, impressive or terrifying?
It's a little terrifying. I blame. I would imagine that this is like a plan that LL Cool J would have come up with on NCIS or whatever.
Wait,
how to find somebody?
Was he listening to "I'm That Type of Guy" when he was doing this? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, ladies love Cool J.
Oh boy. This is actually terrifying, like incredibly terrifying.
So you're not impressed?
I'm not. You know what? I'm impressively terrified. Like, whoa. Yeah. You really thought this through. That's crazy. That is crazy. It's also really, really smart, but it's freaking crazy. Like, whoa.
By the way, he's Japanese.
He is
right?
Japanese, yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn it.
ASICs last week.
I blame it on our friend of ours.
You blame it on Data One? Yes. This is blamed on Data One. Although I don't want to all the way put it on there because I don't think Data One would stalk anybody.
Oh, good.
I'd like to assume at least that he wouldn't. Yeah, man. I don't know. This is kind of crazy.
Data One's going to be out. He's probably already on his way out to Japan slinging like anti-reflecto contact lenses.
Yo.
And more power to you.
Speaking of which, man, happy belated birthday to Data One, since we've mentioned his name. Yes. Happy belated birthday to the non-stalker, non-cyber-stalker Data One.
He would never do that.
He would never do that. However, Hibiki Sato did do that. Ooh. And public broadcaster NHK, which sounds like a gang over here, and other Japanese media reported this week that details in the woman's selfies were used to identify the train station she frequented, Kev.
Wow.
They said Sato looked at other images she shared, such as her apartment, to figure out where she lived. And wow.
Damn.
Wow, son. This is almost a damn nature in a way. Like, it just falls into so many categories. But I would be remiss if I didn't throw my own people into the mix. Official double whammy for us, Rap Sucks Radio. This is old news. And okay. A Florida man. Double. A carjacker was arrested. Why, Kev?
Man, he
didn't
know how to drive. Did not know how to drive a stick shift, a manual transmission.
This is the most millennial crime fail that I have ever heard of in my life. Jalen Alexander, didn't know how to drive stick, so he hopped in the car. But peep this, Kev. He said, Alexander didn't even bother trying to figure out how to drive the manual transmission. Actually, he saw it and probably said, this article wowed out. He said, he saw it and probably said, hell no. And then ran over to another car and stole that.
I was going to say, he jumped and he's like, oh, hell no.
Oh, I actually drive a stick shift car now, so I feel safer.
I know. I was super, I even told my dad about that, which reminded me also, by the way, that if you are over, like 65, 70 years old and you don't call it a standard shift, you're not living right.
You're not living. You're not.
Every time he says that, I'm like, why do I not? Every time he says standard shift, I'm like, why do I always call it a stick shift? I should be calling it a standard shift. That just, it sounds like you were there when cars were invented.
The standard shift, manual transmission.
Manual transmission.
All right, guys. Settle down, guys. As we close it out, I do want to say that the opening paragraph to this article is probably one of the best pieces of written journalism ever. And I quote from the article on rare.us.
He says, that sounds trustworthy.
It does sound trustworthy, doesn't it? Actually, you know what, though? I did research it. This happened in July. It's on multiple sources, but it's old news. The opening paragraph. This is how millennials go to jail. Well, this, physical altercations over jewels, buying White Claws for high school girls, assaulting an Uber driver for listening to Rush Limbaugh during the ride, and protesting a cafeteria's insufficiently reverent service of tacos. Oh, boy. That's definitely a person in our age group that wrote that. Without a doubt.
No doubt.
All right. This was probably the most serious episode that we had, but I had to tell, you know, whatever I did. I had to get on people's heads about LeBron too. So my bad. Actually, not my bad. Y'all bad. Y'all made me do that. You know what I'm saying? Don't make me do it again.
Smarten up.
You were listening to Rap Sucks Radio. We thank y'all for listening. This is your homeboy Trek Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
Yep.
We hope that you guys do not stalk anybody. Matter of fact, we say please do not stalk anybody. And we will catch y'all next week. You can catch past episodes on rapsucksradio.com. And you can also catch us on RSR Podcast on Facebook and Rap Sucks Radio on Twitter, where we post pictures and video and the articles that we discuss, so you can fact check us and see if we bullshitting or not, really. So
write a review. Tell us why we're wrong.
Yeah. Tell us why we're wrong.
If you think you're so smart.
Yeah, I know. I could tell how the episode was so disliked by Omega that he wrote one paragraph about it. He was like, yeah, so I don't know how Trek messed that up, and listen to it. Peace. So yeah. Thanks, Omega. I really do appreciate Omega writing his write-ups, and I try to post them all on Rap Sucks Radio. So anyway, on RSR Podcast. But yeah,
there
man.
There is no try.
Yeah, there ain't no try. Just do it, son. All right, then, y'all. We'll holler at y'all. On the count of three, we say peace. One, two, three. Peace.